being salty, huh? But we'll take advantage of those opportunities when they come. Open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5, please. You guys be good. Be good. Well, hey, look at the people you surrounded yourself with. Troublemakers. Troublemakers. Yes, they are wonderful. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what, folks. I want to thank a lot of you. And some of you guys are in here and helped us out so much bringing meals over and a lot of you bringing prayers. And I want to thank you very much for that. Reminder, we still have a few families in the church who are isolating, who still are sick right now. So keep them in prayer. And I tell you, you know, I've been sick on and off quite a few times, but I remember coming in on Saturday night and just feeling kind of, and then Sunday morning coming and something told me, you don't come today. And I said, this is weird. I didn't even feel all that sick. My first thought was, you can man up, get through this. I'm like, no, just stay back this time. This isn't for you. So I went ahead and scheduled a test and did the appointment, and sure enough, oh man, was I miserable. And then got down there and took the test, did the whole swab, and people are like, don't do it, they're going to poke your brain. And it's, no, they don't poke your brain. But I remember, oh, you know, they were very nice. So they didn't do what they could have done. But anyways, I got to go down there and do that, and I'm glad I did, because by the next day I started losing all the wonderful food you brought over. I couldn't taste a bit of it, and I still can't. I remember calling my mom and asking who had COVID last year and said, how did your taste come back? She said it didn't. So I got a little discouraged. I'm like, okay, you know what? It's a great thing, because right now I'm not tempted to eat good tasting food. I can't tell you. There's a couple things I can pick up. I think it was interesting. I could tell bitter, like drinking a cup of coffee. All I could tell was there was some horrible bitter liquid in my mouth, but I couldn't tell you what exactly it tasted like, just that I wanted it out. So I'm bummed. I asked my mom about that. I said, and she loves coffee. And I said, does your taste, did it ever change? She goes, well, I can taste coffee, but for some reason my brain keeps telling me it reminds me of a septic tank. You know, that nice, wonderful smell. So, you know, if God wants me to get off coffee, this is a good way to do it. But I could still taste things and tell whether they were salty, maybe, you know, kind of get that. I've got that gist on a few things. And, you know, we're obviously a poor segue, but talking about salt and light. And as we look at the scripture, let's go to Matthew 5, verse 13. You guys are only going to get preached at as long as my legs hold out today. So be blessed. You're going to probably be going home on time. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt becomes tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You're the light of the world. A city on a hill can't be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. I want to add a little bit from Luke, a parallel passage, to give us a little more insight into this. In chapter 14, it says, therefore, salt is good, but even if the salt becomes tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It's useless, either for the soil or for the manure pile. It's thrown out. He who has ears, let him hear. A few things that we want to focus on today is salt and light. It seems so simple, and I bet a lot of times it really is, isn't it? Jesus was the perfect wordsmith. You ever think it's kind of interesting that we got to hear sermons recorded and written down by the author of life, and Jesus' words are so appropriate and true? You know, guys, there's a lot of really, really smart people who wrote a lot of neat things. And you know what? We may look at them as having wisdom, knowledge, as maybe being blessed by God himself to give us this. But God has chosen to give us his word. That's special. That is beautiful. And we get to keep it and rejoice in it. And so we look at these words that he's choosing to give us because there's purpose in it, isn't there? Jesus uses these beautiful word pictures, and it would have been well understood by the people of his day. You've probably heard these analogies before. If so, tune out. No, I'm just stay with me if you could. We know that salt itself has a distinct purpose. What do you guys use salt for? It's flavor, it adds stuff. We use it for everything, right? It makes things taste better. Salt actually helps your taste buds to perceive flavor better. Did you know that? Now, too much of it, it's just salty. But just enough, it gives food what it needs to make it special. You guys also know, of course, as a mineral, it does a lot of other things. The Dead Sea, in fact, was, of course, a big part of Israel and a big part of their agriculture. They would take the salt also from the sea as well as other places and use it. And there were different kinds of salts for different purposes. Talked about salt being used, of course, for flavoring, but also for the manure pile. Does that sound like an honorable, kind of a great thing to hear about? Well, in some cases, salt was used on things because how many of you all know if you have manure sitting around, is that normally a good thing? Not really. We don't. And that actually could also be human manure they're talking about. So in a nice way. Yes, it can be used as fertilizer and it can help grow things and provide the right kind of soil you need. But it was also used sometimes to sprinkle on those piles so that it would keep down infection, would kill the germs that were around. I'm sure you guys have heard that if you salt meat enough, ain't nothing going to live in that meat, right? Yeah. Man, that'll keep and keep and keep for a while. Salt, as great as it is, does salt really fix the problem? No, it doesn't. Salt keeps the meat from going bad. But it's not a perfect solution, is it? Something that we wanted to remind us about this is that there's a few things to focus on about salt and its purpose in the world. We could talk about its purifying factors. We could talk about its preservatives. We could talk about its flavoring. And I think all these things are true. How many of y'all know God can mean more than one thing in what he's saying? Or he might have multiple layered things. It's almost like he's really, really smart. And he knows a lot more than we do. But something, no matter how great all the things that salt does for everything, and he says, look, you're the salt of the earth. I want you to have all these wonderful effects. Let me ask you this, though. Does our saltiness fix the problem? No. Salt slows down what's happening. It slows down the decay. It slows down something from going downhill. But it can't stop it completely. Because salt's not the cure. Guys, how many of y'all know that we're not the cure? We always think, don't we always have an answer for our problems, right? Oh, I just need to do this and it's going to be okay. Something that I really love about this is that this particular bit of scripture reminds me, number one, how many of y'all know to be the salt that Jesus is talking about? You and I can't do that on our own. We need Jesus to make us salty. We need Jesus to make us that kind of person. We need Jesus to make us a Christian, don't we? Because when we try to do that on our own, I know I keep using the word picture. Can you make yourself salty like Jesus means? No, you can't. He's not just talking about the right kind of attitude you're to have. He's not just talking about the right kind of ideas he wants you to have. He's not just talking about if you just get enough information. How many of us have thought if you just had enough information, everything would be okay? Well, if I had known this, I would have done something different. Well, if I had known all of that, I would have made such better choices. No one is saying that ignorance is preferable to being educated. If you are, it's probably not a good place to be. But what we do understand is that there are so many things that this world will offer up for, quite frankly, salvation. Enough information. How many of us have breathed easier knowing that a certain government or a certain political party was in charge as opposed to another? How many times have we just told ourselves, well, if you just change it, have a good PMA. And what is that? good positive mental attitude. Just think about something. Remember, you know, cheer up, things could get worse. So I cheered up and sure enough, they got worse. You know, it's like Mel Brooks, right? You know, it's like, yeah, it could be raining. And of course, then it's going to start raining afterwards. You say that. There's an illusion that if we just had these other missing pieces to the puzzle that we could solve the problem. But even the saltiness that is brought from God, as blessed as it is, the salt doesn't fix the problem. By God's grace, I now have antibodies in my body for fighting COVID. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
That's probably not the way y'all want to get them, but that's one way to do it. And you know what? My antibodies don't take COVID out of anybody else, do they? No. My antibodies, I'm glad I have them. But that doesn't fix the problem. It doesn't even fix the problem in me. It means next time I deal with it, I'll have a much better chance to not get knocked on my butt. Forgive the term, but my point is this. My saltiness as well for Jesus, as a blessing as it is, it doesn't fix everybody else's problem with it. Because what is the problem? Sin. What has the problem been? Sin. What will the problem be? Sin. My antibodies can't fix that. And neither can my saltiness. But my saltiness improves things. It preserves. It helps. But it's not the solution. So, you know, let me ask you this. How and where should I be salty? How and where as a Christian should I be salty? Sometimes do we not try to invest our saltiness into certain areas thinking this is the one way that I'm going to do this? We start picking certain things and thinking if I'm only an advocate, if I only put forward this position, if I do X, Y, and Z, can anybody else agree with me that there is a right and a wrong way for things? Yes. How many of you all want righteous laws in this land? We should all be saying that. Amen, right? When we vote for things and when we want to put something in place, we as a Christian ought not to be just informed by our politics, but also by the Word of God and the Spirit of God on what is right and wrong as best as we can understand it. That's just a civic duty that everybody has responsibility for. But when a righteous law is passed, does that law make anyone righteous? No. What laws can do is hinder wickedness and keep it back, but it doesn't cure it. It doesn't fix it. It doesn't remove it. And the problem remains. And we have the same problem here. We're encouraged by Jesus Christ to remain salty, to keep having an effect. We talked about, and you know that the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, are this building pattern of all these things that don't just give us a to-do list of actions. It tells us who we are in Christ. It tells us who He makes us to be. And then the next part of it, of course, as we go through three chapters of Jesus telling people what it's like. Because how many of you all know that the people listening to Jesus in this sermon, they thought they had all the answers too. They thought if only Messiah would come and He would set things straight. Now I'm making an assumption. How many of us have just thought like that? If only God would do what I want Him to do, everything would be better. You know, I think the closest we can get to that, guys, is saying exactly what John did after witnessing his revelation of Jesus Christ. What did he say? Come, Lord Jesus, come. I don't know how you're going to do it all, but please get here and fix this. Amen. Because the whole point of it all is as salty as Jesus can make us to have an effect on the people around us. We can't fix it and we just need Him. The biggest and most important thing, the most effective ministry sometimes I think we can have. It doesn't mean that those other ministries aren't important, that we don't hold on to certain ideas or ideologies, or that we don't put forward a righteous law as opposed to unrighteous laws. Anybody else brokenhearted in conversation? When you hear about a righteous law that might limit the murder of unborn babies and have people talk to you and saying, can you believe what those wackos did in Texas? And you're just like, I'm Ken and I'm happy. And we can look at that because we recognize, not that we want to put them down or hate them for their position, but we say, you know what? I think murdering babies is wrong. I think the Bible says it too. You know, forgive me, I don't mean to imply that there's a disparity. That's okay, sister. You can't hide what's inside. That's okay. Guys, we have it seemingly more right for protecting sea turtles and their eggs than we do about human embryos. Folks, that's backwards. I know all y'all know that, and I don't mean to say that again, because those kind of things can cause problems, can't they? That's okay. What we want to understand is this, is that as great as that law is, it doesn't change the problem of sin which brought it about, which was in people's hearts, which wanted them, or which led them to think, this is okay. We still have a problem of sin. And as much of an advocate as we can be, politically, socially, I think the bigger effect that it can be sometimes in a person's life. Let me ask you this. Did you come to Jesus because people brought a political message to you? Or did somebody live and share Jesus with you intimately and personally? Somebody was salt and light to you. And that you saw something in there that didn't exist elsewhere. You got to taste. I want to taste again. I want to enjoy food again. Somebody for the first time. I think you all know this. You tasted Jesus for the first time. You saw His light in another person. And it made a difference to you. You saw something you've never seen before. Or maybe you just never understood. And that's the most amazing thing. It doesn't always take a smart person. It doesn't always take one of these people that we elevate and esteem. It didn't take a politician. It didn't take someone speaking and preaching, although maybe for you it did. Maybe you came to faith at a Billy Graham crusade. You saw somebody with beautiful oratory skills. Maybe it was just somebody who couldn't put a couple of words together. And by the grace of God, He touched you. He spoke to you. And He showed you who He was. Because there was a Christian who was just willing to be salt. And who was willing to be a little bit of light. How many of you all know the biggest miracles in our lives? And I know we can use this and say, well, the biggest miracle is when Jesus came into my heart. But if you know Jesus, you know that is. Because you know where people are going without Him. We all know this. It can be easy to put our faith in systems and in ways, and it breaks our heart then when we see them crumble. We see the strength that we would like to see in certain things and people fade away. And sometimes we assume that was our weapon, that was our shield, it was our last bastion of hope. If this is taken away, what else is there? And Jesus says it's the same thing that was there before. I'm there, and I put you there because you're the salt of the earth. And He says, you're the light of the world. Wow. The great news about this is that we have a Lord who is all of those good things. And then He says, I'm going to make you those good things too, so that people can see, so that people can taste. These are good analogies, folks. You don't appreciate flavor until it's gone. And how many of y'all know we don't appreciate our sight until we stumble in the dark? Who all has had some broken toes, man? I tell you, I was on a mission trip in Costa Rica. My glasses are probably still somewhere in the Pacific Ocean. So I don't know about you, but I hate when I can't see in another country. Man, I asked everybody I knew, and somebody had a spare frame that I could put on. Oh, boy, was that a mess. You know when you like put on mom and dad's glasses when you're a kid, and you're like, how do you walk with the floor sideways? You know? The scary thing is the older I got and kept trying on mom's glasses, they started to help. I'm like, okay, I can see. Literally. I said, I can see why it's needed. But I'll tell you, boy, man, I tripped over a lot of stuff there. Ended up breaking some toes. And that was fun, too. Then I was blind and limping the whole time trying to do construction work. So that was good. But when we don't have any light and we don't have any salt, how easy is it to get used to this circumstance? Folks, we have a world around us which is not just used to darkness. Some of them have never seen the light. They don't even know what the light is. And so what does Jesus follow it up with? Because you know what? Think about how great this message is. This is not a message that's intended to lift up human beings and say, look how wonderful you are. You're so great. How many of y'all have heard the gospel preached like that? Well, God just loved you so much He didn't want to leave you behind. Is that true? Yes. Is it the whole picture? No. The truth is that God loved me so much He didn't want to leave me behind, nor did He want to leave me in the sin in which I was living. So He brought me out of the kingdom of darkness and brought me into the kingdom of light. So we could see. Jesus, the Messiah, preaching a message to all these people. And yet what does He do when He chooses to say, not just here's what I'm going to do. He says, here's how I want you to live and who I want you to be. I want you to be salt and light. I want you, because remember, who is the light of the world? Jesus. He says, I'm the light of the world. And He gives that light to all men. He says, I'm going to put my light in you. Anybody else mind blown at that? When Jesus says, I want to make you the light of the world. I'm going to make you shine like I shine. I'm going to make you salty and bright. Anybody else want to be salty and bright? I'll take that. Anybody else, you want to help people to taste Jesus? You want to help people to see for the first time? I don't know about all y'all, but the dark's a scary place. What's the first thing God did? Let there be light. First thing. It defines who He is. Of all the attributes of His great character, existing eternity, past, eternity, future, every bit. First thing He says is, let there be light. And here He says, after just telling everybody what a Christian's going to be like, He says, I want to make you light. Jesus is still about making light today because He is the light and He desires to come into people and make them the light too, not because of themselves, but because of who He is within them. Folks, that's encouraging to me. Anybody else encouraged that Jesus can come in and make somebody salt and light? Not just somebody, how about anybody? How about the people we thought, maybe it was you. I'd never do that. I'm never going to be different. And then He comes in and says, I choose you. I'm going to make you different. I'm going to help you to shine. You know the problem about bright light in a dark place? How many of y'all like getting the light shined in your face? I don't know what it is, and I know I did it to my parents, and I don't know what it is about little kids, but boy, you give them an LED light, and they just want to put it right in your eyeballs. There you are, Dad! Yeah, that's great! But what does Jesus say in John chapter 3? That the world did not like the light because its deeds were wicked. Nothing we can set up in this world, as good as it is, no system of government, no righteous laws, as good as they are, they will never be as effective as a Christian who is living for Jesus every day of their life in a world of darkness. We can't put our faith in the constructs of our government. We cannot put our faith in these things. Although they can hold evil back for a time, it won't fix it. Jesus knows that the same answer today is what it was when he gave this speech. Greatest sermon ever written and preached. Bottom line is, we all need Jesus, and so does everybody else. I don't do this today with a particular point outside of to wanting to encourage us in this, that we serve a Savior whose call has not changed. And sometimes we wonder, what can we do? Has anybody else been overwhelmed wondering, what can I do? Just looking at the situation, our world, what it's in, wondered, what can we do? Some of the great preachers of the last century looked back and they saw the world begin to change around them. People's ideas as they walked away from God, going from the 19th to 20th centuries, many people, because of their great learning, had assumed now that humanity is finally shedding this God thing, we can really start to get some good stuff done. And within 2 decades of that golden era, we saw the greatest world conflict that had been to that time. So much they called it the Great War. Preach it, sister. The war to end all wars. And after that, nothing else would come like it. Except maybe in another couple decades. Guys, we killed more people in the 20th century than all the others combined. Only the flood could beat that. Our great learning as human beings did not save us. We thought ourselves wise, but we didn't fix the problem. The good news is that Jesus has already promised us that he's on his way, but he didn't leave us ineffective. He didn't leave us harmless, but he has given us himself to live within us, that we might be salt and light to a world that doesn't know what salt tastes like and doesn't know what light really looks like. This is the encouragement. I can't fix all the problems. None of us can. But can I be salt and light? Yes, I can, because of Jesus. Because if he lives in you, then you are salt and light. The maker of the universe has made you his greatest weapon. However, does that mean again that with this greatness of what he has decided to put in us, those who believe in his name and profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, don't be discouraged when the world falls apart, because God has not removed his greatest instruments from this world yet. He chooses to work in you. If you're still here, he's still working. If there is still one Christian left on this earth, he is still working through people. Does he need us? No. But he uses us. What a blessing. We serve a good God. I know a lot of folks who have said, boy, I sure hope I get out of here soon. They don't mean just California, although some people are doing that. But they even just mean, I hope Jesus takes me home. I'd rather be in heaven watching the show from up there than being down here in it. I got to admit, I'm with you too. Anybody else? You want to just say, let's just check out now and okay, let's just go be with Jesus. Oh, to live is Christ, to die is gain. He said, it's better for me that I go be with him, but it's better for you that I stay. So you know what? If God has us here, I guess we're here
to stay, like Paul said, for the benefit of others, to be salt and light. So that's encouragement. I like it. Nancy and Judy sent me a card. It says, whatever doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Unless it's bears, then you're just mostly dead, you know. I always like that. It says, whatever doesn't kill you makes you really, really weak. But if we're still here, no matter how little breath I have in my lungs today to share Jesus, I can share Jesus today. Amen. My effectiveness, to a degree, is affected by me, yes. But it's not limited by me, in that God can do whatever He wants to do through any one of us. So what is our job? What did He say? Let your light shine. Let your light shine before men, that they might see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Because the weapon that we have been made into, and I use that term loosely, is one that does what? It doesn't take away life, does it? It gives life. It's a weapon that people fear. Satan doesn't want to have things changed in a good way, does he? He would much rather tear the place up on his way out. How many of y'all know he knows what the Word says too? He knows, it says in Scripture, he knows that his time is short. And so he is kicking and dragging and causing a mess. But God has chosen to make you a weapon that doesn't take but gives life. He's our enemy, not those others who were still in darkness. So folks, let's take that LED light of Jesus and shine him in a few eyes with love. But let's be that light and let's be that salt. It's very tempting to hide. It's very tempting to pull back when it's tough. It's tempting sometimes to stand up for Jesus when you feel like you're the only one there. I can guarantee you, you're not the only one there. How many of y'all know there are angels unseen who are lifting us up? How many of y'all know that the Lord Himself has promised that He would never leave you or forsake you? And He has promised to be faithful till the end. And you know when I say the end, it means all eternity. He ain't never going to stop being faithful. Ever. Let's take encouragement in that. I think I actually held up on my promise today. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you so much for your encouraging word. I'd ask you to put a song of praise on each of our hearts. Lord, to recognize that you have given us light and life. And what is truly effective and important in this world for you, it doesn't just come, Father God, from laws and governments and positions. It doesn't just come from oration. It doesn't just come. Those are areas where it's expressed. But it comes from just being born again, being saved, being transformed from the inside out by your work, the work that you do in us, that when we come to you in faith, you say all those who come to you, you're not going to turn away. Those that the Father brings, you will surely not turn a one of them away. So help us today who are coming or have come to you. Make us salt and light. Make us salty to our neighbors that we might add a flavor to their lives and they might taste and see that you are good. I'd ask you, Father, please to make us bright. Not abrasive, Father, but beautiful. Help us to be like you, to shine for you, and not look for ways to hide, Lord God, the light that you've put in us, but to share that light with others. May it be evident that good deeds would be visible, and not for our own glorification, but so that you would receive glory, Lord God. Thank you for giving each and every one of us. You've blessed us differently and you've given us different abilities. But I thank you that the promise in your word is that you have made them, that is us, to be salt and light, effective instruments of righteousness in a dark and tasteless world. Help us to remember you have given us not just a weapon, you've given us you. And you've made us to be like you so that people might know you. That is a great gift. Let us never be discouraged when we remember what Jesus has and is doing for us. So, we pray this and say thank you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Let's worship together.